When I met you in the summer, to my heartbeat sound, we fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we could be together, baby, as long as skies are blue.
I used to get in an argument with my old producer who was from the East Coast, and he scoffed at the fact that we call our beaches in Chicago beaches at all. And we'd have conversations, and he said, well, you have to have surf, you have to have a tide in order for it to be considered a beach. But the Chicago has 26 miles of lakefront. We have great beaches, but we also happen to have beaches along the most dangerous of the Great Lakes. And I wanted to talk to Dave Benjamin, who is the executive director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. First of all, tell us what that is.
The Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we have four key areas that we work. We track the drownings in the Great Lakes. We teach Great Lakes water safety. We work with family and friends of drowning victims to advocate water safety. And then we also provide open water surf lifeguard in-service training and first responder in-service training.
What have you noticed? And when you say that, because I tried calling the city of Chicago, the coroner's office and the medical examiner to find out how many fatalities there have been, how many drownings there have been this summer in comparison to others. What have you found? And I know that you're not just collecting for Chicago. So what have you found this year?
Well, believe it or not, the numbers are actually down from previous years. But this is the month where we get a huge spike in drownings. So we've had 10 drownings in Lake Michigan since August 5th.
Okay.
And actually five of those were last weekend. There was one on Friday night, two on Saturday, and then two on Monday. And, you know, it's just tragic that we're almost up to 70 drownings for the year, 691 drownings since 2010 when we began tracking drownings. And, you know, we believe that every one of these drownings was preventable, avoidable, possibly survivable with some basic, simple information that should be common sense, but it's not common sense. And so we need to look at, why is this not common sense?
Why is it not common sense?
Well,
do you have any, I mean, because it's hard for people who are, one, are good swimmers.
Right.
Or just when they go on a boat, they just think everything's going to be fine, you know, regardless. What I was saying one day, you go on a plane and everyone gives you the emergency instructions.
Right.
Everyone gets on these boats and there's no plan. There's no, hey, if something happens in the event of an emergency, this is what we need to do. There's no guidelines for that.
And unfortunately, it's like anybody can just jump on a boat. I mean, someone might, you know, hey, they're at the beach, they run into someone, that one of their friends, or they're invited to jump on the boat. Next thing you know, they have no idea what to do in case of emergency because it's not planned and prepared for.
Right.
And, you know, we look at water as it's a recreation.
And that's great. Right. We want you to, I was telling you off the air that when I was a guard, people hated me because I was mean. And I would tell them that I'm not here for you to have a good time. I'm here to make sure that you don't die. But they're there to have fun. But that's not the life. For me, it was not my job. I was very, I could be very stern with people. But that's because I knew what the risks are.
Right. And that's the big thing is people don't know the risk. The number one thing that we hear from family and friends of drowning victims after a tragic event is, I didn't know. And these bullet points that they didn't know is usually simple information, like, I didn't know drowning is one of the leading causes of death in the nation and the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of the leading causes. They didn't know that drowning is a public health issue, and let alone they didn't know that the World Health Organization says that drowning continues to be a neglected public health issue. So we don't treat drowning like a public health issue like we should. So when we do our presentations and our talks and interacting with the audience, we'll ask people, you know, have you ever heard of the Zika virus? And how is the Zika virus transmitted?
Mosquitoes.
How do you protect yourself from mosquitoes?
Wear long sleeves and pants and use mosquito repellent.
Right.
And don't go out at night.
We need to understand that in 2016, the World Health Organization said that Zika is a public health issue. Then sitting President Obama requested and eventually received $1.1 billion of funding for education, outreach, and research. And you got the message. It's mosquitoes, it's bug spray, it's, you know, long clothing.
Sleeves, yeah.
You know, we need to understand, at this time, less than 10 people in the United States had died from the Zika virus. But on average in the United States, 10 people per day will die drowning. And we don't get it. And the thing why I bring this up is because the year before, in 2015, that's when the World Health Organization said, hey, drowning continues to be a neglected public health issue that happens with an alarmingly high rate around the world. Mm-hmm. And nobody seems to even know this or comprehend this. So if you don't know this basic, simple information, let's lay out the foundation of water safety and why we need to know it.
Right.
You're not going to be as diligent, as safe around water. And if we look at, you know, kids today, they've been buckled up since birth. You cannot leave the hospital without an infant carrier seat.
Yep.
The child's properly strapped in. The nurse is watching you strap that child in. They escort you to your vehicle, and then they watch you, you know, make sure it's in the vehicle car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was born back December 1969, you know, my mom's sitting in the front seat of the car, the window's up, the heat's blasting, probably got a cigarette hanging out of her mouth.
Right.
That's was a standard of safety back then. But, you know, they looked into why are there so many drowning or driving fatalities, and who's wearing a seatbelt and who's not wearing a seatbelt? Okay, well, we need to mandate this. They did the research. They got the funding. They did the education and the outreach, and they had enforcement, because there's no enforcement really with anything with water safety. If you ignore the lifeguard, you ignore the lifeguard.
Right.
If you don't know what the red flag means and you get in trouble, the public will say, well, they should have known. They should have known what a red flag means. Unfortunately, across Great Lakes, there's no consistency about what the flags mean.
Right.
You know,
it should be common sense, I guess, because green means go ahead, have fun. Yellow means take care. Red should mean stay out of the water.
Right. It should, but it doesn't. Really, what it signifies is that there's waves and dangerous currents.
Right.
Some beaches, it will say red flag, no swimming. Some beaches, it says red flags, high surf. And we also need to understand, there are drownings on green flag days. And this is like some...
That's a good point.
Some information that also people need to know is that, you know, waves and dangerous currents, drownings, mm-hmm. are kind of like the shark. You know, when a shark attack happens, it like goes viral around the world. But there's really very few shark attacks. If we look at all of the Great Lakes drownings, on average, only one-third of the Great Lakes drownings happen because of waves and dangerous currents. The other two-thirds are people on the green flag days or yellow flag days getting in the water and going out beyond their limits, because they don't know their limits, and they don't know that they need to know their limits.
I'm guessing you've had some thoughts about how we can generate awareness, public education, when it comes to water safety.
Yeah. You know, the simplest approach to reach the largest audience in the shortest amount of time would be to have a water safety school curriculum. So if we look at safety in schools today, there's mm-hmm. fire drills, tornado drills, school shooter drills. There's even earthquake drills in many states, including Illinois and Indiana.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My son is 8 years old, going to Western Avenue School in Homewood, and they're doing earthquake drills. I'm not opposed to earthquake drills, but do you remember how bad that last earthquake was in Illinois?
I was like, did the truck just go by?
Right. As far as I know, there hasn't been a fatal earthquake in Illinois in my lifetime, but hey, we have earthquake drills. So we need to understand, it's likely each year more school-aged children will die drowning than die by fires, tornadoes, school shooters, and earthquakes combined. So that should be a wake-up call, an alarm. We need to mandate this. It needs to be in every Great Lakes states, and it also needs to be nationwide, because people travel, and wherever they travel, there's a hotel with the unguarded pool, or you're going to camping that has a pool or an inland lake or a stream. You know, water is one of the leading causes of accidental death in the nation and the world, and people just don't know that.
Do you think that the lack of will to make sure that that's part of the curriculum or to educate people, is that it's kind of a, people treat it as a blaming the victim situation? They were they didn't know how to swim. The parents weren't paying attention. They broke into a pool they weren't supposed to be in. They were in water that was, it seems as though it's more likely that we'll blame the victim.
Right. So we actually call it the stigma of drowning. And what happens is, when a drowning happens, the public point of view is to blame the victim, blame the parents or caregivers, or blame it on Darwinism. And the summation of that is like, hey, drowning only happens to stupid people, or drowning only happens to bad parents, which is completely not the truth.
Not at all.
So So we need to understand, in addition to that, that it's unfair and people are talking and they don't know because they could, you know, have a child, you know, or drowning themselves. We need to understand that stigma also inhibits funding for education, outreach, and research. I've been doing this for 8 years now, and we've gotten one grant for $50,000 for this year. Everything else that we've done over the last 8 years has been like very small, like a couple of $5,000 grant here or there. Or unfortunately, it's family and friends of drowning victims who've raised money, who's gone to their child's school and said, you need to have these guys in here because we lost our child and it shouldn't have happened because we didn't know about red flags and we didn't know about rip currents and we didn't know that 80% of all drowning victims are male because males are more likely to take risk, more susceptible to peer pressure, more likely to overestimate their abilities. And, you know, if we can't train the males in this behavior, you know, because when we do these presentations at schools, we talk to them like, hey, don't dare your friend to jump in water over their head, whether it's in a pool or at the pier. Don't dare your friends to swim out to the swim lane and back because you might be able to do it, but they might not be able to do it. And, you know, one experience I share often was my daughter was 10 years old, and I took her and a group of friends to the pool in Park Forest, Illinois, the Aqua Center. And I made sure the boys rode with me going to the pool, and I asked them, I was like, do you guys know how to swim? All three of them in the back seat. Oh, yeah, we know how to swim. So we get to the pool. We get to the pool's edge. The three jump in. One doesn't know how to swim. And then the lifeguard's sitting right there. She jumps right in, pulls him up. You know, I took him aside. I'm like, hey, how come you said you know how to swim? He's like, you know, I didn't want to look weak in front of my friends.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, you do realize that a girl just pulled you out of the water in front of your friends.
So how much better is that?
He's like, I didn't really think about that then. But that's unfortunately what happens. And we have all of these, you know, tragedies that easily could have been avoided, possibly survivable. And, you know, we need to educate everybody from the children to the parents to the educators to the politicians because nobody sees this neglected public health issue as a crisis state that we need an emergency.
We're talking to Dave Benjamin, who is the executive director of the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. And I want to talk more about water safety education. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. As always, it's always your conversation. More on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Andrea's off tonight, and we continue the conversation on 720 WGN. Over the weekend, I saw a story about a woman who fell off of a cruise ship, and she treaded water for 10 hours. She said part of the way she survived was by singing to keep herself awake. And our guest, Dave Benjamin, who is the executive director for the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project, has made an interesting point because our listener from Houston says our school district teaches all fourth graders to swim 2 weeks during PE. You made a great point, which is what?
Well, we want everyone to know how to swim, but we also want them to know how to survive. And we need to understand there's a distinction between the two. And, you know, some swim programs do have a survival component, but unfortunately, it's not consistent enough that every swim program has a survival component. Oftentimes, when drowning happens, you know, people would say, well, we have to have swim programs, or we can't have water safety because we don't have a pool at our school. You know, we'll often say, well, we don't light kids on fire to teach them stop, drop, and roll. We don't have to throw them in water to teach them flip, float, and follow. We can give them the instruction that they, at least they know a strategy.
Say that one again.
Flip, float, and follow. If you're ever struggling in water over your head, flip over on your back and float. Float to keep your head above water. Float to calm yourself down from the fear and panic of drowning. Float to conserve your energy. The emphasis is all on floating. And then follow a safe path out of the water. So float first, survival exit strategy second. And we need to understand that. So oftentimes, you know, when we do our presentations, this year, 230 presentations to over 30,000 participants, we start the survey. You know, raise your hand. How many know how to swim? Over 90%, we're talking kindergartners through adults, over 90% would say, yeah, I know how to swim. And then, you know, how many been in the ocean? How many been in the lake? How many been in the pool? You know, and then we say, okay, well, what do you do if your clothes catch a fire? Everybody knows stop, drop, and roll. Okay, what do you do if you're drowning? And nobody knows. Less than 5% know float or flip, float, and follow of a survival strategy. So again, that's the alarm. That's the wake-up call. Over 90% of people say they know how to swim, but they don't know how to survive. It's kind of like saying, how many people in here know how to run? Everyone raises their hand. Okay, well, how many can run a marathon? They can really, you know, honestly say, no, I couldn't run a marathon, and they're not going to be embarrassed by it. But understanding that knowing how to run doesn't mean you can run a marathon. Knowing how to swim doesn't mean you could survive the marathon of a drowning incident unless you have a survival strategy such as flip, float, and follow, or you have a flotation device with you. We need to understand that drowning happens fast. If somebody is drowning, mm-hmm. they're in a panic attack. They're having a panic attack in the water. They're fighting for their life. All their swimming experience is out the window if they don't have a survival strategy. Typically what happens if someone's drowning, doing the signs of drowning, facing shore, mouth of water level, head tilted back, doing a climbing the ladder motion, typically less than 60 seconds until final submersion. And they don't look like they're drowning. They look like they're treading water or they're bobbing. You know, they don't, you think, if you don't know what drowning looks like, you think they would yell or wave for help, but there's...
You think of arms splashing around.
Right. They're right. So exhausted they can't. And then we need to understand that with drowning, there's a timeline that if someone's rescued within 2 minutes, CPR, artificial respiration, probably performed about a 94% survival rate, which is a great survival rate, under 2 minutes. But around 3 minutes of submersion, the heart may stop. Around 4 minutes of submersion, irreversible brain damage may begin. And around 10 minutes of submersion, if that person is then recovered, it's only about a 14% survival rate. So we need to understand, less than 2 minutes could be a full recovery. Around 10 minutes of submersion is likely a body recovery, unless it's extremely cold water and very, very few people would ever make it past that. And so we need to understand that that's why we have to have eyes on the water. We have to have hands on touch supervision. We have to have life jackets. We have to have rescue equipment on the beaches. We have to have lifeguards that are properly trained, properly equipped, properly supervised, so that they are Johnny on the spot. They see it, they identify it, they go right in, they get to the person before they submerge. They give them a flotation, their rescue tube, the rescue can. And, you know, so we do want everyone to know how to swim, but we need to understand that it's not an inoculation. That was my thing, is I've been swimming in Lake Michigan for 49 years now. When I was 40 years old, you know, I thought, I've been swimming in Lake Michigan, I've been surfing in Lake Michigan, I've surfed in the ocean. I thought, I have all this experience, I know how to swim. You know, I didn't know that I could drown, and I had a drowning incident. And all my experience when I was in that moment of panic didn't matter. It was out the window. I was fighting, struggling for my life, and holding my last breath. And wow. I had a realization, an article I read years before called Drowning Doesn't Look Like Drowning by Mario Vitone. He's with the U.S. Coast Guard. He's now retired. But he described the signs of drowning. And I realized I'm doing the signs of drowning. The more I'm struggling, the more I'm submerging, the more I'm exhausted, the more I'm not going to make it. So I did nothing and I floated. So it's kind of like if you're drowning, do nothing. Roll over on your back and float. And overall, you know, from the wipeout, from surfing, the drowning episode was maybe less than 2 minutes, you know. But the floating and getting out of the water, overall, from the wipeout to getting out of the water, was probably about 40 minutes. You know, so it was a marathon to get out of the water. There was waves, there was dangerous currents, there was a structural current, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really a patience game, you know, to get out. And one other side note, knowing how to swim, we want everyone to know how to swim. We need to understand that swimming reduces your fear of water. People often overestimate their ability around water. And when it's assumed that a child knows how to swim, they get less supervision. So it's just information that people need to know. We want everyone to know how to swim, but we also want a survival strategy and practice the survival strategy.
I thank you so much for sharing this information, because summer's not over yet. People want to get out there and enjoy the water. How can people learn more? Where do you direct people to find out more information?
Our website is glsrp.org. We are working with a group called the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety. They are doing a community meeting Sunday, September 9th at 2 p.m. The event page is on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. You can scroll down in our newsfeed and you'll see the event page for that, so you could sign up. Also, the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium is having a Great Lakes Water Safety Conference in Cleveland, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So water safety enthusiasts, if they'd like to travel out there, be a part of that, we'll have water safety experts as well as water quality experts out there as well.
So we need to have you back before the September 9th event, so we can
absolutely
talk to people. Let's get people aware of that. I want to reiterate what he said, because I think I don't know that I've gone over that with even with my son as much as I, because he's so cocky. I love my son Griffin. He's like, I know how to swim. I never, whenever he goes with his friends to the beach, mommy tags along. I I just hover from a distance, but I keep my eyes on the water. So that's flip, float, and follow.
Yeah. And I just want to you know, get one more thing in.
Yes.
Hallie Cadeza, one of the co-founders of the Chicago Alliance for Waterfront Safety, you know, she said this quote, and it makes perfect sense. If kids were dying out there at this rate at any other public park, we would be doing something about it. I don't know why it's different when the water when the hazard is water.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to do something about this.
Yes, and we will continue to do so. You know I'm here. You know,
I'll be back.
You know, I'm all in on this one, and with so many of our guests. But I'm familiar with, and I'm passionate about, and I'm so glad that you're doing the work again. Dave Benjamin, the executive director for the Great Lakes Surf Rescue Project. Go to glsrp.org,
and contact your schools, your principals, your superintendents. We come into schools and do Lake Michigan water safety presentations or any Great Lakes.
I know a couple of legislators we should talk to. More after this on 720 WGN.